Joe Meyer, KBOO, what brings you out today?
Well, I work at the bank, KBOO listeners, and I am here to dispel, as best I can, this nasty rumor going around this place that people should somehow go to my bank and attempt to withdraw their money and place it in a credit union no later than November 4th. This is a horrible idea, Joe.
Well, gee, I belong to a credit union locally here. It seems like a good idea to me. What's wrong with it?
The credit union, as you know then from your experience, will treat you with nothing but dignity and respect. These are horrible emotions in the world of finance. Plus, the credit union offers none of the friendly amenities that we are planning for you. For instance, when you come to the bank to withdraw your money that we have been holding for you, we will, free of charge, lock you inside the bank. We will then call the police directly, who we have paid off under the table, or slush fund, with black bag, whatever you want to call it, and we will have the police come arrest you simply for trying to withdraw your money from the bank. Again, all this is free of charge.
A lot of Americans are a little upset with banks now. I mean, I think the government gave them about $1 trillion worth of tax dollars.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Joe, because financially, there has never been a worse time to try and withdraw your money from my bank. We, quite frankly, are out of money. I know we lost your pension, your 401k, your retirement. I know after we lost those things, we then proceeded to lose all the bailout money in shifty equity maneuvers with hedge funds and whatnot. But still, I beg of you, we're out of money now. And if we're going to pay off the police to come arrest people down in New York City or wherever we feel like it, we're going to need a lot more money because, as you alluded to, there's a lot of people who are not very happy with the banks. That's a lot of cops we're going to need to hire. Hence, therefore, you see the reason that we cannot have Portland or any community going to the bank, cashing their paycheck on Friday, and withdrawing every last dollar and putting it in a locally owned credit union that will do nothing but guard it safely and probably spend it within the neighborhood, sustaining your entire community with you shoulder to shoulder. Again, horrible maneuver. Invest it in me, a bank, who has shown you that I can invest it wisely in Learjets and mansions for myself and golden parachutes.
Well, I just saw in the news the other day, Mr. Banker, that Citigroup was fined $285 million. Million dollars. $285 million. Do you know what a million looks like?
$285
million.
I believe I have a bear rug in front of my fireplace that might be stuffed with a little less than $1 million. So I think I do have a fair idea of the paltry amount you speak of, yes?
Well, the SEC made a special deal for betting against their own investors and making piles of loot while the housing market crashed.
Well, look, business is a very tricky world with a lot of gray area. And just because we took the least likely to succeed home loans, bundled them up, and sold them to people that had no idea that these were the least likely to succeed, just because we not only did that, but then we had the gall to turn around and bet against those very risky investments succeeding and make money off both ends. That is the kind of business savvy and acumen that we provide at the bank. I'm glad you brought that up. Again, it gives me a chance to show you some of the shrewd maneuvering that has allowed us to be the envy, quite frankly, of everybody's eye. And I think it's all jealousy, and I think, quite frankly, all these people in the streets really have nothing to complain about. I see them eating. I see sustenance here because of the banks. I think I've proved my point here today on KBOO. I'm glad I got a forum to again preach my case. Please, whatever you do, America, do not go to me, the bank, withdraw every last dollar from me and invest it in a credit union instead and keep your neighborhood afloat. Again, this is a horrible idea, and I hope I've squashed this.
Well, Arlo, my credit card is free from my credit union. They don't have any monthly fees at all.
That's right. What's the excitement in no monthly fees? Stay with the bank. Overdraft, huh? Who hasn't come to know and love the surprise overdraft fees.
Well, what can the American taxpayer do for the banker in these hard times?
Continue to leave your money with me. We really don't care, quite frankly, about your protests, your signs, your maneuvering, your whatnot, your chortling on the microphones. That's not hurting us. What would really hurt us, what would really stick a thorn in our side and perhaps force us to be, oh my gosh, I can hardly even say the A word, accountable. Anyway, what would really force us to be accountable might be going to the credit union and taking all of your money away from the bank, which is why I am saying quite forcefully here today, you should not, America, on November 4th, under any circumstances, go and withdraw your money from the bank, because that would really put a thorn in our side and hit us where it hurts. And we can't have that in these trying economic times.
Well, Arlo, how will it lead to job creation, though?
Well, the last time I saw my prairie castle in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, I believe I had several people working on the shrubbery, and it's all, again, trickling down to the common man, and there's plenty of work at the food carts. I see them while I'm inside, whining and dying in investment bankers on $400 lunch tabs paid for by the people, but I see the food carts. I know they exist. There's plenty of good jobs.
I like to believe in trickle-down economics. It's a nice ring to it. You know, how much longer do we have to wait for it to trickle down?
Well, trickling down, trickling on you. There's trickling involved, and I think that's the main point here.
So again, how can our listeners really help out the bank in this time of economic need?
One more time, in case I haven't made myself perfectly clear here this afternoon, representing the banking industry. If there's anything, if there's one thing you should definitely not do before November 4th, Portland, it is this. Do not cash your paycheck at my bank and then watching me the whole time and smiling sweetly so I do not lock you inside my bank and arrest you for simply trying to retrieve your money. Anyway, while you cash your check, smile at me sweetly and then ask for every last dollar and then scurry out of the building before they lock the doors and arrest you. Again, no charge. I did say that earlier, right? No charge. One of our new features. Anyway, you should definitely not do these things and not take your money and put it in a local credit union where they will do nothing. They will not invest. They will not fix the minor repairs on my Learjet that are necessary for me to continue to enjoy providing jobs, fixing the Learjet and whatnot. They will not do any of these things. They will simply hold your money safely and allow your neighborhood and your community to continue to thrive and prosper.
Arlo, thanks for stopping by and talking to KBOO today.
Oh,
you rock!
Represent the banking industry. We're taking a bad rap these days.
Alex, what do you got for us? Hey, this is Joe. We're streaming live from Freedom Rectangle. I'm joined by another guest. Care to introduce yourself and say why you're out here today?
Yes, my name is Mitchell. I'm from Southeast, and I'm out here to stand up for the Pea Party.
The Pea Party?
Yeah, the Pea Party. It's pissed enough already. I'm out here because we need opportunities in this country. We need opportunities for jobs, for growth, for a future for our children, for our country. Our country's in real big trouble right now. And I'm seeing a terrible spin on the Occupy movement by such personalities as Lars Larson.
Let's talk about that in a minute, but first, can you give our listeners a little bit of your path? It seems like you're talking about the U.S. is on the decline a bit, or things have gotten worse in the recent past. Can you trace the trajectory of your life over that time period, just to introduce us to the listeners?
Well, when I was a young man, my grandfather and father used to demonize my uncles that were coming out of Vietnam, because, well, they come out of there and they were smoking pot. Okay, so
okay.
And my grandfather and father both drank a lot.
What age were you at that time? Now the Vietnam War.
At that time, I was about 13. 14.
So you saw your older cousins and stuff coming
my
back.
My uncles.
Your uncles coming
two,
back.
Two of my uncles come out of Vietnam.
And then they were a little scorned by the family.
No.
They,
only but by the grandfather.
Or the grandfather.
And my own father.
Mostly because of marijuana use, or.
Well, they did more than marijuana. They came back hooked on heroin. But marijuana was coming into the culture, and they seen some of their acquaintances, and they would go to these peace protests.
Okay.
And both my father and grandfather would say, boy, this country's going to pot. Look at this. The country's going to pot.
Because of the protests or what? Or,
well, because of the people with long hair and different ideas.
But then your uncles joined those people?
Yeah, my uncles did. And now I find myself today knowing full well that were my grandfather and father alive today, they would say, my God, I wish the country would go to pot. Okay? Because we need economic growth. Hemp could start that today. Okay? And the piston off...
What's the hemp plan?
Well, to try and get manufacturing going in our country.
So grow the hemp here?
All across the country.
What can you use the material for?
What can you use it for? The sativa and cannabis sativa means most useful. We could tear down these tarps, have cannabis tarps. We'll get rid of our made in Taiwan clothing. We can start building our country again.
Yeah.
Okay? And the pissed is I'm being judged, not only me, but many people in this area, by the quality of their urine. Okay? Not by the content of their character or their education. But if your piss ain't up to muster, you're not a viable candidate to be occupied, to have decent employment. And you can be demonized just like they've demonized this.
So you see the piss test as a barrier to moving forward in some parts, at least, of America.
It has been a big detriment in my life. Okay, I'm a card holder. I have been for a long time. But that card don't mean diddly squat when it comes to looking for work.
And what kind of jobs would require a piss test for you? What kind of employment are you looking for?
Well, every job. I'm a union. I've been out of my union for a little bit here in town. But on every job, they would have random UAs where they would come in and test everyone.
Really?
Okay. Now, here's the funny part about that. It's really a cheesy operation because we'd all go to these UA outlets where you got to go give them samples.
UA, what's that now?
Urinalysis.
Right.
Urinalysis. So you go into these places and you're all sitting around, maybe two dozen of you, going to go on a big job. You look around, all these big, I've been on a lot of these big jobs.
Yeah.
Hammondstone. So you all meet in here, you go in and you pee, then you go out and you go in the parking lot and you describe one to another how you cheated the system, how you snuck someone else's pee in there, how you went and got fake dried pee.
How come they needed to do that?
So that they would be able to work on projects, so that they would be able to have a job.
Right. But they would not have passed.
They never would have passed. No, I guarantee if you pull most of the people out of lots of these job locations today, they'd fail a UA right away.
What's the usual thing to fail it on?
Marijuana.
Marijuana is most common?
Marijuana, yes. And marijuana, if it is helping in your treatments, such as like for mine, I have bad sciatica and back pain. Some of the drugs that the doctors have given me, they're all well and good until it comes with dealing like with your children or your grandchildren. And you want to show them concern or love and you want to teach them that, hey, your grandfather ain't a drug addict because he can't hold you because he's on these painkillers and these muscle relaxers.
What, the white medicine makes you a little wobbly?
White man medicine make me crazy, me unfunctionable, okay?
Yeah.
And the truth is doing those, I couldn't do my job.
Mm.
I could not do my job. Well, when I find myself taking the prescription from, for lack of a better word, Dr. God, because he's the one that put it here for us, right? It wasn't imported from the Mexicans or the Koreans or the Vietnamese. It was put here by the Creator. So when I take that advice and it makes me so that I can tolerate the pain, not sit and get stoned so I got to listen to music, and we're not teenagers anymore, okay? And we need to get that demonization off so that people will stand up for treating yourself. And the pee party, being pissed enough already, I don't think a man should be judged on the quality of his urine. And that's why I stand firm on a lot of us are being unemployable because we have medical marijuana cards and we're going to urinate some marijuana.
You mentioned you were in the union. What kind of work did you do there?
Tile and stone with
you
the brick layers.
Right.
Yes.
And that's something you could do, no problem.
Well, the pain, I'm a little older now, so that's more a young man's game.
Yeah.
Okay. But I could still. But I couldn't pass the piss test.
Couldn't pass the piss test.
Yeah, I couldn't pass it today.
So what are you doing now?
So now I look for work and look for work. I come down here and state my case, and maybe there's an employer out there that'll say, hey, this guy sounds like he might could push a broom.
Yeah.
He might could set tile.
Right.
He might could drive a car. Just because he smokes a little weed don't make him un-American. And if we were to employ everyone today in the hemp field, okay, you'd take marijuana off the table. Because like I say, Lars Larson saying, this smells like an old urine factory down here with marijuana smoke.
Did he come down here, actually?
He said he did.
Yeah.
But I kind of have my doubts. I've been down here for a while.
Yeah.
And I've met some really intelligent people that are directed in the right way. Not everyone here is homeless and destitute.
Yeah.
A lot of people have no voice in their community.
Yeah.
In their family, amongst their own friends.
And I think you're right. A lot of people I meet are really smart. Well informed.
Well informed.
Yeah.
And they're not getting that, by the way, from mainstream media. It's thanks to people like you and KBOO that bring this kind of a voice to the community that needs to hear it.
How'd you know KBOO's having their fundraiser right now?
Well, because I called in and I told everyone, hit the click jar right now.
Hit the click jar right now.
If you're within the sound of my voice or if you're within walking distance to your analysis station, go in there and click their tip jar, okay? Tell them you're sick of pissing for a living. To put Americans back to work and not back in food lines.
Sure. Something I ask a lot of people, do you see anything that's unifying all these different people out here, all these different directions? What's unifying it? Is there something you can reduce it to? Or
unifying is the spirit that some of these people you never get to see, and they're coming out in daylight for the first time.
Yeah.
And some of them I have witnessed, they'd give you the shirt off their back if they had a shirt to give you. A lot of them are homeless and have no place to go to. Thank God that there's people here that are trying to help with what they can, with information, with connections.
Yeah.
We can all help a little bit in any way we can. And like I say, I'm this far from foreclosure, me and my family out in the southeast, okay? And Daddy can't buy a job. Okay, and Daddy's sick of having to cheat on piss tests and have to go along with everyone who thinks it's okay to cheat on such a test just to have a job.
Yeah.
Okay, jobs could be created by cutting that crap out.
Right. What's the path to that, or what's behind that? Who's benefiting from the piss test world?
Well, I'd say, well, who isn't?
I don't know. I don't think I am.
Well, I'm not, definitely. But I would say that any manufacturing you could do from hemp, such as the oils,
right,
the textiles,
right,
the products, they're, I couldn't set a name on them. I'm not that smart.
Right. Well, it sounds like such a great idea, I guess is what I'm asking. It sounds like such a great idea, and all the research I've done seems like it's a great idea. You know, what's stopping it? Who's benefited from it? Who's benefiting from it not happening?
Well, are we the kind of people, those that are standing here today, these are the kind that are showing, you know what, come here and take my earth, okay? Because that's all that I have is this. We cannot go to another planet and grow what God has given us, okay? You can chemtrail us. You can put fluoride in our water. You can dumb us down any way you want on man-made drugs. But when you come to the truth of what God has put here for you, it's better for you. You're a better man for it. And the lies stop.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you see good coming out of this movement?
A lot of voices. I see a lot of people wanting the wars to end. The people wanting the corporate media to start using common sense and quit treating the American people like they're a bunch of stupid morons.
Well, you can't ask that of them. You know, their primary goal is to make money, and God, they're doing it. You know, you can't just say stop doing that. I mean,
no, but we have to tell the people to tell them to stop doing it or just quit supporting them.
Quit supporting them.
There are other channels.
There are other
channels. And boy, yesterday when I accidentally hit that one, I was really sorry I did because I heard nothing but hatred coming.
Oh my goodness! The first time I saw Fox News, I could not believe it. I was visiting my in-laws in Mississippi, and it was right before the Iraq War. And they had, you know, rockets going off and banners and stuff, and I hadn't seen that before. I guess I was isolated from it. We didn't have a TV. And if you see that all of a sudden, it's at that level. It was shocking.
Yes, yes. Well, what did you think of that shock this morning, them dragging Muammar Gaddafi's body around and showing it?
I didn't see that.
Oh, thank God. But yet the American people can't see him pitch a dead bin Laden out of a helicopter. I mean, the American people aren't stupid, okay? Yeah. This whole ordeal of our country being taken over is coming down. It's unraveling.
Yeah. Well, you sound like a skeptical American. How deep does it go, do you think? I mean, what about 9/11, for example? Inside job or?
Most definitely an inside job.
Most definitely, not even a
most
hesitation.
Definitely not a hesitation. The crooks such as Cheney and Bush, I hear Bush is being, they're wanting to arrest him up in Canada. He's going to go up to Canada today, and they put out, there's a group that
I
wants
to arrest
him. I
heard a rumor about that. I didn't understand that, if they actually could muster a police force that's going to take on his guys, or what's going to happen
now, see,
in that regard.
We are men that need to learn to stand on our feet and face those that think that they need to direct our lives and our society.
Yeah.
Because it's not working. All they do is sow division amongst us and hatred.
Yeah.
There's not a war going on today that we need to be in.
Yeah.
And now our children, my children, I still have kids at home.
Yeah.
Thinking that, well, dad's a loser because he'll urinate marijuana.
Yeah.
So he won't take that Prozac.
You get that stigma along with it.
Yes, you do. Not only that, but when you got your card and you try and comply with the laws, what happens? Their demonization makes it so that anyone who sees your plants growing, I just had a whole harvest ripped off, by the way, comes in and robs you blind. And what recourse can you take other than to try and educate them that I don't use this as a drug, I use it as a medicine.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But the long and short of it is we got to get hemp back on the front burner.
Yeah.
Get jobs today.
Yeah.
Get piss out of the way.
Piss out of the way.
Okay. You want to really test someone? Test the excrement. See if they're eating healthy. Okay? See what's
idea.
In there. Let's get off of how they medicate themselves.
I like that idea. Let's leave it there. Thanks for talking to KVU today.
Well, thanks for listening to a guy trying to save up to be white trash, my friend.
Good luck to you. Hey, you got your guitar? You going to play a song for us? Let me talk to this gentleman while you get set up. Hmm? Another guest coming in. I'm going to just slip those over. They ought to be all set up. Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Your voice is pretty good. I passed you several times. You're fasting.
Yes, I am 10th day, and it's probably going to be my last.
Okay.
For the moment.
How's your health?
I'm alive. 10 days is all. 10 days.
But you've been drinking water.
Yeah. Of course, I've taken fluids.
And you're staying out here?
Oh, I'll be here till Christmas.
Yeah. So what motivated you to start?
I got to stop by and let the population of Portland know what is going on here.
Okay.
Number one, the police department are advocating all homeless to come to this area. And that stretches all the way out to Gateway.
How are they doing that? How they actually?
They are actually approaching and telling the homeless to come down.
Well, tell them how good the food is, or what?
Whatever reason they can come up with, they're using it. And I mean, I know this for a fact. This is happening.
You've heard it from people on the street, or
I saw it myself.
You saw it yourself.
Yes.
You know they're pretty solicitous. Are they pretty friendly?
Well, of course. I mean, you know, they're very jovial in their manners
like,
to
hey.
Bring them down.
And
get
like,
on
hey.
Down here. You get fed. You got a place to stay. Nobody's going to bother you, et cetera, et cetera.
So they're basically approaching them in a friendly way.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You know,
and are people doing it? People
let me make one point. I am all for community policing.
Okay.
In fact, I mentored my sister-in-law into becoming a police officer back in the day.
All right.
And she is now a detective down in Salem.
All right.
Hi, Char.
Right on.
Anyway, I just think the population needs to know the backside of this, because there's a lot of stratification going on here.
At this park?
Oh, absolutely.
At
this park. Because we've got the drug users.
Yeah.
We've got the alcoholics. We've got the mentally challenged. And we're trying to deal with all of that while trying to bring forth a political process.
That's an interesting observation. I'm noticing the same thing.
And if we've got to be tolerant towards these other people that are being sent down here.
Yeah.
And when you see in the media all this crap that's going on, just remember where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Because We are trying to make a difference here.
I see. So you think the police are really sending people down here in order to make it a little more difficult to
move
forward?
They are making it as difficult and making it as easy on them where they are at. I mean, I understand their position also.
Sure.
It's a two-way street. I don't care which way you go.
And honestly, it seems like a pretty nice place. The food is good here.
I don't know. I haven't had any yet.
Believe me, the food is good here.
Yeah, well,
if you start eating tomorrow,
I'm going to start eating tonight.
Okay.
I'm not going to wait for tomorrow. Tonight, I'm going to have a meal.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's been good so far. What do you like, curry or beans?
I'm going to have a little bit of everything.
<There you go>.
But, yeah, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to be putting a proposal forth to the General Assembly tonight to unify with New York.
Okay.
Because I really, as I have stated before, I really believe that the work that they have done on their occupation and their declaration of occupation in New York City is worthwhile and a good stepping stone to work from there.
What kind of document was that? Was that a list of their grievances?
It was set up a lot like our Constitution is. In fact, it was read here on cable earlier.
Okay.
All right. And I entreat everybody to get online and look that up.
Where can we find that online?
I have no computer, so I don't know. I would think maybe Google it.
Are you singing a song over there? I'll go.
Okay. Declaration of the Occupation of New York. And
entertain the listeners. Sing a song or
something. I'm believing this is the right direction to go. They've got it pretty much spelled out.
Man.
They're 3 weeks ahead of us, guys. And they've done the work. And I believe they are on the right path. All right? And so please try and find it. I will try and get you a copy. I think they've got one over in the library.
Well, what were some things you liked about that?
Well, their main thing is concerning the corporations funding.
Okay, that's good. That's interesting.
I think the government there.
That's a real important
thing. And
there.
Then, of course, the GMOs.
Was that something about Citizens United or something? Or
absolutely.
Just somehow reining in corporate cash.
Absolutely. I mean, we cannot have any.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Excuse me, guys.
Hey, no problem. Okay, nice to meet you. That was fun. Thanks. We are streaming live from Freedom Rectangle, where you can prove the Pythagorean theorem in two city blocks.
Amen to that.
You got that right, brother. Sing it out, Pythagorean theorem.
Well, it is a geometric fact that if you take out the middle of the pyramid will collapse.
I see.
And that is what our economy is based upon. You've
That's what it seems like, the middle class.
The lower class and the upper class. And if they're going to kill the middle class, this pyramid will collapse.
Yeah, a lot of people talking about kind of a slow degradation of the middle class. What do you think triggered this? I mean, was it inevitable in a way? Or?
It's been happening ever since 1960.
It's really continuation. You feel like it's a continuation.
Eisenhower warned us. Eisenhower warned us about the military corp, and we bought right into it and made the civilian corp, and the civilian corp is what has eaten us up.
Yeah. Well, the 50s, that's what we look back nostalgically on.
I've been here since then. I was born in 53.
Yeah.
And in fact, I actually I became political active in 56 for I Like Ike.
Yeah. It was catchy.
That was the first election I ever remember.
Did they teach you that at school?
Oh, no, it was my...
Oh, you were young then. You were,
I was
young.
Very young.
An earlier listener said that the teacher wrote that on the board, and they all learned that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just like the Pledge of Allegiance has changed. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Think about how many transitions this country's gone through.
Yeah.
And, folks, don't forget about Kent State, because I'm telling you, it could happen again.
It happened again. It seems to me that it could happen again, and mostly things are fought out in the world of ideas and images or something.
Consider this. Bush signed a piece of paper with Canada to allow Canadian troops or American troops into Canada in the case of civil disturbance. So it won't be American guns trained on us, folks. It will be Canadian guns. Now, think about that. I mean, what kind of world are we really living in? You want to talk about globalists? I don't even want to.
Yeah.
Because it scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
My biggest fear, to tell you the truth, is the Chinese coming in.
Yeah.
5 to 8 years from now and saying, you owe us $17+ trillion.
Can we just print that up?
We're going to take over Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, L.A., and San Diego, and we'll let you keep the rest, but that's ours.
What would you say is the main thing that motivated you to take the hunger strike, which is kind of one of the strongest statements you can make?
The solidarity that I first witnessed at the beginning.
On that first march on Thursday the 6th,
yeah,
was it?
And I sat back in my tent, because I am homeless. I sat back in my tent listening to the radio.
Where were you staying at the time?
I'm up on the Rocky Butte Flats. That would be on the east side of 205.
That's pretty far out there.
Hi, folks. Everybody knows me out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
It's about, 6-7 miles from city center?
It's actually 5.5
miles. 5.5
miles.
Yep. Straight out Powell.
Straight out Gleason.
Oh, straight out Gleason.
Yeah.
Okay.
Straight out Gleason.
Right on.
Yeah.
And how'd you get down here then?
Well, I took the MAX.
You took the MAX down here.
And that, folks, why don't we fund it so it's free?
Yeah, I like that idea.
Think of how many people will put their cars away.
Yeah.
You put a small percentage on your gas tax in the county.
Yeah.
In the three counties that it serves.
Yeah.
And it's paid for.
I like that.
You can ride for free.
And it's much cheaper.
That should be the way it's done. Yeah. And I'm also very upset. I got to state this as long as I'm here.
Go for it.
Very upset with the Gestapo tactics that MAX people use.
Oh, really?
With their security.
What is that, a special police force?
Absolutely. You've got the transit police running around in black.
They can't have guns, though, can they?
I witnessed, for a fact, a assault weapon in one of their cars.
Assault weapon.
Now, what the hell are they doing with assault weapons when the police can't even carry shotguns anymore?
Wow.
I mean, think about this, folks. You've got a police force on a public transit system. They have assault weapons completely.
Yeah, so you came down. Did you bring your tent that first Thursday? Or
you bet I did.
You ready?
Oh, I'm here.
And then were you surprised at the turnout? I remember I was pretty shocked. It was about 7,000.
Well, when I first got here, there was a portion of the Thurman Park that was still pretty much open.
Yeah.
But it's totally filled now, folks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I entreat everybody. Come on down. Take a peek at what's happening. Get some information so you really know what's going on.
Yeah.
Talk to everybody, not just one person.
Yeah.
Talk to everybody.
That's
because,
good.
Because, you know,
that's good.
There's so many ideas down here. Some of us got to be right.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also one of the themes. We talked about consistent themes, and one is really education or just outreach, the one-on-one learning, just making new connections.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love to see more people down here for the forums, because I tell you, that's where the real consensus takes place.
Yeah.
It's not at the GA, it's at the forums.
At the forums.
Yeah.
And then they basically bring it before the GA once they're all cooked.
That's what the whole process is about.
Yeah.
If you're going to make the process work, you got to be part of it.
Have you been active politically here, going to the GA and so forth?
I've been here a few times. My main statement is, like I say, I did this fast for the time I did to create a push towards getting people together.
Yeah.
I mean, you got somebody starving to death. Come on.
Yeah. At some point,
you're putting your life on the line. What do you want to put on the line?
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
I appreciate the time on this.
Thanks for stopping by, my brother.
God bless you, my friend.
God bless you.
Have a good time, guys.
Thanks. Thanks for coming by. Gentleman's been on a hunger strike for 10 days. He's going to eat tonight. Get yourself some nice food tonight. Get in line early. Get some good curry. No doubt. This is Joe Meyer. We're broadcasting live from Freedom Rectangle. We can prove the Pythagorean theorem if they would only arrange these tents a little differently. Devin's coming back here to join us. Devin's been down here quite a bit. Hey, Devin. What you doing?
Kids.
What are you doing today? Just walking around?
I I don't know if I should say this over the radio. I acquired some black tea. It was completely legally acquired, but it was of the dumpster. But I got a bunch of tea, and I brought it down here to keep everybody, you know, going.
Nice. Have you been staying over at all?
Yes, I've stayed here off and on. I've been here, down here every night.
Yeah. Are you involved politically much, going to the meetings and so forth?
Politically, in how I've participated in every march, nice. I don't really participate in the meetings. They're a little bit hard to follow.
Yeah.
I have to say.
They have a certain methodology. I think you have to take a class before you can... participate well. I do.
Yeah.
They have hand signals.
Yeah, there's a lot to it.
I thought the NFL was bad. But I remember in the march last Saturday, the most emotional moment in a way for me was when we were walking down Salmon, and we were coming up to Salmon Street Springs. Go ahead. Wait a minute. We got a special message for Lars. Hold on a second.
This is the Bunker Gateway. Lars Larson, I dare you, bring your butt on down here to 4th and Main and come talk to me. I bring it to you.
Wow, that was pretty entertaining.
One thing that he mentioned that I hadn't heard before, wait a minute, I was talking about that emotional moment in the march. Yeah, I was walking down Salmon Street towards Salmon Street Springs, and that's always been a special fountain for me. You know what I'm talking about, walking down that street?
Yeah.
And then we were on 2nd, I think, and we looked to the right, and there was this mass of energy and people walking in the other direction. And, of course, it was the beginning of the march because I was at the end of it. It was awesome. It was awesome.
Wow.
I almost did a double take, like, ooh, you know, what the heck? What's going on over there?
Wow.
And it was
really
cool. Here. It was really here in a way. It was connected in the space-time continuum through humans.
How long have you been down here?
Oh, I stayed out 2 nights, and that really did me in a way. But today, just since 1 o'clock.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed is there's a lot of people. They've been here a very long time, and they're starting to get a little bit wacky.
A little bit wacky. Well, my last guest just suggested something that I hadn't heard before, and that authorities are trying to get a lot of homeless people from the surrounding area to come down here, and I was curious about that. He considered a tactic by the police, actually, to make it harder to move forward politically. It's something I hadn't heard before. On the other hand, it is a nice place to stay, so you can't blame them for recommending it. And the food's excellent, and no one bothers you at night, as I can tell.
Yeah, it's there's also same folks who organized Dignity Village have organized an encampment on Burnside.
A 4th and Burnside, that
yeah.
One. Okay. R2-D2.
Yes. Okay. It's pretty cool. It's probably about as revolutionary as this. When Dignity Village started up, it was kind of a really wacky concept.
Where was the first Dignity Village done?
It moved around quite a bit. First it was underneath the Burnside Bridge, and then it moved into Waterfront Park. And they finally...
Tom McClaw?
Yeah.
Tom McCall?
Yeah.
Oh, was
Tom
it there?
Tom McCall Park. And,
what defined it as Dignity Village rather than just some people camping?
Well, it was very organized. Everybody knew each other.
Okay.
And they didn't let people in who were just going to start trouble. And,
okay.
Very organized group of people.
And was it consensus-based like we hear this is?
Yes. Okay. It still exists in another incarnation. It's far, far out of people's view because, you know, you can't see homeless people trying to take care of themselves. That'd be terrible, right?
I'm not touching it right now.
I don't know. Does this mic work over here?
Come on and sit down and talk to us.
Hello.
Over here. I'll turn that one on. We have another guest. We'd love to have guests. I love talking to Devin, and we like to have guests.
Here we go.
This human being seems to have a question or a statement for Amy Goodman.
Human being?
Well, was that going too far? Wait a minute. No, you're not on. You're not on. How about now?
There we go.
Say something. No, that's not it.
Oh, that's the audience, Mike. There should be
There's
the
one
third
more
one.
Oh, that's too far over. That one.
Yeah.
That's muted, though, isn't it?
There we go. Is that it?
Try something. Say your name. No.
Adam Michael.
There we go.
That's it.
We there?
Yep.
Mrs. Amy Goodman, I made it down here. I promised you I would. It's Adam Michael. How are you?
So how and when did you promise Amy Goodman that you come down here?
Well, you know, I looked at those conspiracy theories 10 years ago, and I said, nah, they couldn't be true. And then when I saw Building Number 7, and I studied that for a while, and I realized that the police building in Ground Zero, that explosives were wrapped around those pillars prior to the Twin Towers falling. That was a bad moment for me.
Well, how do you know there were explosives there? Did you see them yourself? Or?
Well, I worked on federal buildings for a long time as a union carpenter.
Okay.
And people came to me when the Twin Towers fell. People with more of a liberal perspective on things. And they said, Adam, you know, it was done deliberately. It was more than just 19 Saudis that were involved. There were other people.
They had some suspicion based on something they observed, or
Exactly. Okay. And then I saw an hour documentary on the Building Number 7 when it fell, the police structure
after the
Twin Towers.
The PBS documentary.
This was done. This was done by an architectural firm.
Okay.
And the man that ran the program had a. He had a lot of certifications with fire structure, you know, buildings and fire and how long it takes for a building to fall down. These buildings don't fall in 3 hours.
Okay.
These buildings that are built under federal guidelines don't fall within 3 hours.
What, were the Twin Towers unique in some way? I heard that? Were the Twin Towers somehow unique? I heard they had a very thin shell or something.
What was unique was that the building, the police structure, they said they had to bring it down, remember? They said, we got to bring this building down.
That was after the Twin Towers fell.
There's no way that they could have gotten explosive crews in there and imploded that building the way that it fell after the Twin Towers fell. But in other words...
Didn't it just... The main story is it just fell down by itself because of underground
heat? The main story
heat.
Says it did not fall by itself. The main story, you know, so the bottom line is it said... It was a setup. Yeah, it was a setup, and it was all orchestrated. And when I realized that, it was very scary that our own government, people inside our own government, had knowledge of this prior to the Twin Towers falling.
And you know that because they could not possibly have rigged it up as quickly as they did?
They could not possibly have rigged up explosives around the pillars. They could not possibly rig up explosives to make that building fall the way it did after the Twin Towers fell. And those buildings don't fall. You can have fires burning on every floor of those structures. They don't fall within 3 or 4 hours. Most of the time, they don't even fall.
Is that what happened? Can you remind us? After the Twin Towers fell, it was several hours, and then building several
fell
down.
You know what I'm talking about specifically.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I didn't study that history.
But beyond that, you know, just when you look at Wall Street and the financial structure of the stock market, and then as much money as we lost as Americans. When it bottomed out years ago, and then very little was done to prosecute people, you know, till even years later, you know, they were. And it's really scary when you look at those two things. When you look at Ground Zero, and then you look at the stock market.
Well, Ground Zero shows you what they're willing to do, and then the stock market tells you what, that the banks and the government are too powerful together, or.
Yeah, that's what I came to talk to Amy Goodman about, and to thank her for her information that she's given me on the nuclear power and the situation in our country. When you look at Hanford Nuclear Power Plant in the state of Washington, and then you look at we talked about getting these nuclear power plants shored up. We talked about bringing the troops home, getting them back here from Afghanistan, and getting some of them to be dispatched to the nuclear power plants, and it hasn't been done yet. Now we see that there's two power plants in Virginia have been shut down because of a 5.6 earthquake, and that's not a very big earthquake.
Yeah.
That's a small earthquake. Yeah. And you look at that and the potential of having a potentially a Fukushima incident here.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to thank her for the information that she's given me over the last couple of years in changing my, helping me to change my my direction and to look into the facts instead of what I feel might be right or wrong, to look at the facts.
Yeah, that's the stuff. She does.
Thank Kay Boone and Amy Goodman for that.
Thanks for saying that. So what do you think about the vibe out here? What do you think is going to come out of this?
I think, what I see is I see a lot of good people down here, but I think that maybe we need to organize more because we got a mixture of people that want to change the government and a mixture of people that just want to sleep here in their tents.
Sure.
And I think that it's important that before this is all said and done, that maybe a little bit more organization, so that we don't come away from this looking like so that they can brand us as a bunch of dumb hippies, because we're not. I mean, we know what's happened in this country.
But you're worried about the image of the park.
Yeah, and it's more than the image. It's the fact that we can't let what happened in Wall Street, and we can't let what happened in Ground Zero. We can't let part of the character deflaws in our walk, we can't let them expose that and say, well, because of that, Enron didn't happen, Wall Street didn't happen, and by the way, it was not a conspiracy, 9/11. I mean, these are the things that concern me, is that after we wrap the tents up, are they going to be able to just take a couple of the bad apples that were down here and brand Occupy Wall Street as just not doing what it was supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some concrete changes you'd like to see?
That I would like to see in this country?
Yeah.
What I would like to see is, I would first like to see the troops that are getting, the troops overseas are getting killed because of the big oil and because of the martyr system that's being used all over the world for blood sacrifice. I would like to see the majority of the troops come home and put to work in the United States, not be laid off. And then after that...
So jobs, basically. You want to see the military come home, jobs creation of some kind.
We bring 50% of the troops home. Even if we put them to work here in the United States, we're going to be saving two-thirds of what we pay them overseas, because we pay them triple the money overseas. So once we bring 50% of the troops home...
Keep them working, though.
We're going to keep them working, but we're not going to have to pay them what we pay them overseas.
Sure.
So right then and there, we're going to have money for the to allocate for the deficit and for the budget.
What are those guys going to do? What's a good job for that guy?
Well, they could help shore up the nuclear power plants.
Sure.
Okay, that's the first thing, and I think that's the first thing we do.
Stuff like that.
Well, that's just a big thing. The nuclear power plants. Not only that, I think making sure the southern border is secure, not as far as Hispanics that want to come here for work, but far as people that want to come here to, criminals that want to come over the border to hurt the United States, shore the southern border and the northern border up, but you're giving the Marines and you're giving the Army and you're giving the National Guard, you're giving them a job and a goal, instead of allowing them to go home and drink beer and commit suicide, because we had a lot of suicides in the armed forces a couple years ago. So bring them home, give them a job to do, make them feel like they're important, because they are important. Make them realize they are important. And then number two, we gotta consolidate our public relations with China, and we got to make sure that they understand that when we begin to open the steel plants back up in this country, when we stop buying as much steel from them, that we're not trying to push them away, that we actually, at the same time we want to start bringing the steel back, our steel mills back, we don't want to do any damage to our relationship with China. As a matter of fact, we want to expand our relationship with China, and I think it's important that we get a trilateral commission, or no, I was thinking a commission started with China, Germany, India, and America for research and development on stuff like you know, quality solar panels.
Yeah, Germany's way ahead of us in solar panels. When I was over there just last summer, wow, they got them all over the place. A lot of great ideas.
Sure.
A lot of great ideas.
That's the kind of stuff I'm interested in.
You want to end up by telling something about the personal arc of your life? We talked a lot about history. I wonder what the arc of your life has followed during that time. Just a general sketch. You know, where are you from? Are you from Portland?
I'm from Portland. Yeah, my name's Adam Michael, and I won't give my last name, but I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. And
you grew up there then? Or?
I grew up in Baltimore. I was raised in the synagogue. And later on, my mom was in a coma, and some things happened, and some Christians came into my life and helped me out. And then I moved to Portland, and I started getting kind of conservative in my values, and then some liberals came into my life and really helped me out.
Interesting, interesting.
And so I'm on both sides of the fence right now, and I was just getting pulled and torn in a lot of directions, and I decided I wanted to start doing the right thing in my heart. And so I started having a problem with the Republican right, so to speak, the far right. And I started looking at the far right and the far left, and I started just in my heart, my prayers go out for America that we'll both, you know, solve the problems of this country together and not divide ourselves like we have. And I hope that the people on the far right and the far left can that the Freemasons and the witches involved with the black magic, I hope that they can find a way to understand that it's all going to be okay, but we got it. The secrets and the lies and all that stuff has got to be put to rest, because it's causing economic unrest in this country. And not only that, a lot of wars are being fought in the Middle East because of this whole stuff with the Jews and the Muslims and then the Christians in America. It's just not working.
Yeah, it's not working. It's hard to understand all that. Thanks for stopping by and talking to KBOO today.
Thank you.
Great.
Have a good day.
You too.